Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome joining us right now, as he does every Wednesday at this time. It's Mike Rizzo, president, general manager of the Washington Nationals, brought to you by Main Street Bank. They are a business-focused community bank serving neighborhoods throughout the DMV. Main Street Bank, put their team in your office. Visit them at mstreetbank.com. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. Good to see the foursomes together.
Thank you.
Good morning,
Thank
Mike.
You. Yep, all here.
Glad you're watching your favorite TV show of all time, The Junk, simulcast on NBC Sports Washington. We're glad
nice.
We
of course.
To hear that.
And it's good to see Steven Strasburg on an actual mound.
Yeah, it's a good step forward for him and Joe Ross and Adrianza and there's a whole group of guys in rehab starts, so that's good. It's a progression. It's a step in the right direction, and hopefully we get the guys fixed and can contribute on the big league level soon.
We saw that. I guess they were saying he had some command issues, but again, it's just getting him back. That's all that really matters. Did you guys see a little velocity pickup? Do you have any details on that? Spin rates and all that stuff. What'd you guys get?
Yeah, he was up to 94, I believe, and Ross touched 95, and but pitching at 92, 93, and again, a step in the right direction. First time on the mound in a long time, and against opposing hitters, and Strauss is such a touch field guy with great command, and if his command is off a little bit, so be it, but. As long as both of them walk into the clubhouse today and feel good about things and can move on to the next stage in their rehab, it'll be great. So another rehab start is in the offing, and they're going to be on 5-day on their typical 5-day pitching routines. Mm-hmm. And when I say these things go day to day, they go day to day. These guys, they'll walk in today and see how they feel, and if they feel normal soreness and normal aches and pains, then we're all good, and we move on to prepare for the next start 5 days from now.
Mike, we know that all these guys can do it different ways, right? I mean, Maddux was unbelievable. He wasn't pumping 97, right? He just was so mm-hmm. precise and whatever. What does Strauss need to be as he settled into when his best year, right? When he was pumping whatever he was doing in 2019. Where does he like to sit at where he was at most effective?
Well, we've seen Strauss over the years. He came in, he was throwing 100, what I mean? And after Tommy John and after some other elbow issues, he kind of settled in that 93 to 96 range where, he can go get a 96 when he needs to. But, you saw in 2019, he doesn't need to be that big, big fastball type of guy anymore. He's got a plus command and is as good a curveball and changeup as there is in the business. And really, he can move the fastball to all four quadrants. So he's a guy who will rely less and less on big velocity than most pitchers at his stage in his career.
I remember when we had Rosenthal here for a minute, and we liked him so much. We kind of fell in love with the guy. He was, like, dreamy. He was handsome.
Yeah, loved
him. But he was coming back from, I guess it was Tommy John, whatever it was. And you said the guys that come back from Tommy John. Now, I know Strauss didn't have that this time, but you said command was always an issue with those guys, and it's taken him a while. I think Rosenthal's maybe settled down a little bit. Is that what typically, I know this is a newer surgery, I think, for guys. It's not as common. Is command typically what they deal with coming back from this one?
Well, I think if the touch and feel, which is, you know, coincides with command is the last thing to come. We're going to build up their pitch count and their durability and their velocity. And then you need to get a feel to get hitters out and movement on your pitches and spin rate on your curveball and tumble rate on your changeup and that type of thing. So, I think that, at this point we feel good about Strauss' start. Two and two thirds or three innings, and we'll build from there, and try and get him to somewhere around 90 to 100 pitches, and see how he feels, and get him to the big leagues, and get him in the rotation, and that's the plan for him, and there, like I said, there's several other guys that are on that track where they're past the rehab mode and they're into the preparation for pitching and game mode.
And when's his next rehab start?
We'll find out today when they both come in today and assess where they're at health wise. We will. If all's well, they'll be 5 days from 5 days from now. So
your take
every fifth day,
right? So your take on JoJo last night. I just look at his last five starts. He's played some damn good teams. He's Dodgers, Houston, first place teams, L.A., Angels, San Francisco. Now, he pitched pretty well in a couple of those games, but obviously against L.A. last night, that's a tough lineup for a rookie to go against. And then, of course, Trey got him early. Kind of your take on his performance and his start last night.
A little overamped in my mind, be a power pitcher instead of a guy who hit your spots, work your plan and utilize your repertoire and that type of thing. But that's not unexpected in these type of games, when you first face a team that you traded for. You want to impress, and you want to oftentimes young pitchers want to overthrow and try and do too much. But when Josiah is thrown well, he's hit his spots and his stuff plays. I like the fact that he's aggressive on the mound. He throws the ball over the plate and he's not nibbling. But there's a fine line between not nibbling and getting too much plate. And when you're playing these type of teams, which there's a lot of them out there, a lot of good teams out there that you're going to be facing, that you've got to find that fine line to make your pitches and still be aggressive and get guys out on the outer thirds of the plate instead of the middle of the plate. And teams like this and Houston and those guys, they'll make you pay when you make mistakes. And it's a good veteran laden lineup. And when you make mistakes, they make you pay.
Talk about Davey's decision to move the lineup around a little bit. Ruiz has been batting two the last few games, dropping Juan down to three. And Ruiz, I believe he's got eight hits in his last four games, so it's certainly helped him. Have you noticed a difference there? And then with Juan moving down to three, do you expect some more production there? Because sometimes I mean, he's so good, but sometimes I just think he's just trying a little too hard. It's just my opinion.
Well, the thing I worry about least is Juan's production at plate. So I don't think about that too often. But I do like the lineup adjustments. I think that's always good. It brings a little excitement to the clubhouse and to the game. I think Ruiz is one of our core group of guys for this next championship run, and he's earned a right to move up in the lineup. These things aren't put in cement, so Davey has the opportunity to tinker with them even more. But to me, the two hole is more at bats, and I'd like to see Kieber get more at bats throughout the rest of the season. And he's a guy who puts the bat on the ball. He's as tough. He's the toughest guy, or one of the toughest guys to strike out in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. So you know there's going to be contact, and you know when he gets on base, I think he's hitting 280 something, 285 something like that. Yep. And I think that you're going to see a guy that that's going to take more walks and get his hits and be in position for those middle three guys to knock him in.
Talking to Mike Rizzo, president and general manager of the Washington Nationals. Now, you just used the term championship run. And if you're a fan of the team, obviously you've been blessed for the last decade as having a team that competes for the playoffs and has won a World Series. So for the fans out there that aren't used to a 14-30 start, when you use the term championship run, like how long until that championship run?
Well, let me start by saying I'm not used to it either. We're winners here. We've always won here. We built something from nothing back in 2009 when we mm-hmm. took over here and sustained greatness for over a long, long period of time. And we're one of the most successful franchises in baseball during that time. And we're right now in the big leagues. We're not playing very good baseball, and we recognize that. We're frustrated by that. I see that improving, but we're looking at a blueprint and a plan that is time tested. It's been true to form. It's something that we've done in the past. Don't forget, in 9, 10, and 11, we took over a franchise that wasn't very good. It wasn't very deep. It was previously owned by MLB, and the minor leagues were stripped, and the staff was bare and that type of thing. And we're in a much better position right now than we were then. So, this blueprint and this plan is to reboot this thing in a quick manner. So when you look at the core people like a Gray and a Doan and the Cavellis and the Henrys and the Theofoles and the Irvins and the Mitchell Parkers in the minor leagues that are having great seasons that are knocking on the door in the big leagues, that's your next wave, along with the guys that are currently under contract, and that's what we're seeing at the minor league level. We have two teams that are in first place, one team's in second, I think one team's in third or fourth. So the production down there is great. You've got guys knocking on the big league door like Garcia and Palacios, and Trey Barrera is having a terrific season at Rochester, and then you've got the power stuff of Cavelli and Henry and Evan Lee and Cronin, who's got a very almost a 0.000 ERA in AA. These guys are going to help us in the very, very near future. Then you've got the big boys that down in A ball that are going to be really the impact players, position players for us, and the De La Rosa's and the Houses and the Infantes and the Whites. Those guys are just having terrific seasons, and we're proud of them. And that's the next wave, and that's how we got this thing planned out. You've got payroll flexibility coming. You've got money coming off the books in these years down the road to supplement us in acquiring players. So we've got a lot of things going right. The big leagues isn't one of them, but we've got a lot of things that are positive in this organization. You look at even our Dominican Summer League. We've got the Vaquero kid who would be a top five draft choice in this draft. Coming up in July, and we have him. He's the number one rated international player. He's a stud, and several other guys down there. So we've got waves of players coming at different time levels, and they're going to arrive at different times, which gives us the ability to keep, when we get to be a championship organization in the near future, that it's going to be something that we can sustain like we did last time for 10, 11 seasons.
When you drafted Harp and Strauss or whatever, that's what won me over, right? Growing up here, an Orioles fan, and then it took me a while to embrace you guys. But when you got Strauss and you got Harp, I just fell in love because, I don't know why. For whatever reason, we followed those guys. Harp on Sports Illustrated cover when he was 16. Strauss mm-hmm. got a lot of publicity when he was at San Diego State. It was weird. And so I fell in love with those guys. Of those group of guys, and you say they're all coming, they're all going to be coming at different times, who's the next one that we're going to fall in love with of all of them?
Well, I mean, there's a ton of them. It just depends what your taste is. We've got some you know, guys that play with flair and some panache. We've got some, you know, Cade Cavelli is one of these hard nosed, get after you type of pitchers, on the type of like a Jordan Zimmerman. He just comes at you and comes at you and comes at you. And then, you know, you got some flair guys like Cole Henry and Darren Baker. They play with a little flair and panache, and this De La Rosa kid and Fredericksburg has a chance to be a really, really good player. We forget sometimes that these minor leaguers were just their development was all over baseball, by the way. It's just been truncated by missing a whole season and a half because of this COVID has just put a big damper on these guys. But, you know, you got De La Rosa kid at he's 20 years old, has only played, you know, this is really his second full professional season. And at 20 years old, where he'd be a college junior, is just tearing up, A-ball, hitting 360 with home runs and stolen bases, playing center field and house, doing what he's doing over there at shortstop. And Infante leading maybe the minor leagues in home runs and RBI. So got a lot of good things, positive things happening in our minor league system. A tip of the cap for those guys down there, you know, Deshaun Watson and his group of guys that are working hard, and we had a facelift and staffing down there, and we're excited. We're frustrated and unhappy about the record in the big leagues. Nobody wants to go through that. Nobody likes losing. Nobody hates it any more than I do. But we see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's going to be as successful and great as it was when we took this thing over in 2009 and won all those championships and in the World Series hardware in 2019.
I'm sorry, Jason, real quick. Will we see any of those guys this year?
Yeah, I think you'll see a handful of guys this year. Like I said, by the end of this year, you could see three or four 23 or younger pitchers in the big leagues. You could see several position players that are knocking on the door to become good players in the big leagues. So you will see some of these exciting kids in the near future. And when we do, you're going to see these guys develop into stars right before your very eyes, like you did with Rendon and Trey Turner and those guys. People forget Trey Turner was a guy we traded for. When nobody knew his name and nobody knew how impactful he was going to be. So with another international signing period, another draft where we pick high in the draft at number five, which we haven't picked that high since Anthony Rendon at six. We're excited about that. You put in the number one international class with Vaquero leading that. We're excited about that. Another trade deadline and another off season. We think we're going to be in a very exciting team and tough team to play in the very near future.
Mike, you're not allowed to talk about draft prospects, correct?
No, not really. No.
Okay. I just wanted to say, you don't have to comment. I can't believe. I mean, that just kind of shows our age. But Matt Holliday, you remember Matt Holliday?
Mm-hmm. I saw his kid.
His son's a complete stud. Andrew Jones's son is a complete stud, and they may go both in the top five in the draft. And I know we're not surprised because they got good genetics, but I can't believe it.
What about the kid that's throwing 105? Is he eligible?
The kid from Tennessee?
Yes, he is. Yeah. From Tennessee?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he is.
And there's a stud outfielder from Virginia Tech, Gavin Cross, who's legit.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's just amazing that these guys we watched for many years and their sons are just complete studs. They're going to be drafted in top 10 coming up soon.
You hear the same names, dude. Yastrzemski had a big game yesterday.
Yep. Grandson. Yep.
Great. That's his grandson.
I know.
That's crazy. Hey, thank you, Mike. We appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
See you next week.
Yep. Okay. Talk to you, man.
That's Mike Rizzo, Nationals GM. Remember, a little bit later in the show, it's Game Show Wednesday. Give you a chance to win some pay-per-view codes for the big fight coming up this weekend on Showtime. But next, it's EB's Entertainment Page on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.